And the time is 6 a.m.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 megahertz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can also call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Michael Welch, speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more great community radio.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Winnipeg, Manitoba, on occupied Anishinaabe Aking, the homeland of the Métis and the historical territory of the Nahiyawak and the Nakota.
Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol.
We are warming up now, and we're here.
We are here live.
See, that's live radio. Yes. Here for you for the next 2 hours, 6 until 8. After we burned all the furniture, we may have to... Yeah, anyways. Carol, maybe I should go on the roof.
Yes, morning. I would say so.
You think so? Looking for ancient radio waves. Got something for you, yes. And as well, take a look at the Free Press book pages, continuing with the best of 2025. And as well, hopefully we can work in advice from Mary as well. Inquiring minds want to know, Carol, what about the weather?
Well, I can tell you about the weather. It's cold out there.
Thanks very much, Carol. Moving right along.
Light snow and blowing snow. And when I say light, it's just poo-poo. Enough to give you a facial, you know, that kind of
stuff. Scrooge would say, poo-poo.
Yes. We can attest that it's not as cold as it was a few days or two ago.
Very true.
It's all in the wind. Barometric pressure 100.3 and rising, humidity 80%, wind coming from the west northwest at 41.
Yes,
that would give you a wind chill of minus 31. There will be periods of light snow, but that'll end around lunchtime, and then a mix of sun and cloud. And there will be local blowing snow this morning, and early this afternoon. Wind coming from the northwest at 40, gusting to 60, and then down to 20 this afternoon. A high today, minus 16. So it's not going to change much from what it is now, except the wind chill will go up to minus 25 this afternoon. At all means... risk of frostbite.
Yes. The good news is, as R.B. Bennett said during the Depression, I see sunshine around the corner.
Yes.
If you can believe 3-4 days down the road, it'll be it'll be better. It might be even close to normal. Yes, coming our way. I want to thank everybody who came last night. Troopers, they were Carol Troopers, to come and hear the reading of A Christmas Carol.
Well, as we know, some people are still trying to dig out.
Yes, side streets can be nasty.
Yes.
You don't want to get stuck. So
yes.
Thank you to James Hickerson, who came and played guitar and added a few sound effects.
Yes.
Worked well. Got some laughs as well.
Good.
As we were reading a Christmas Carol at Delnavert. No, I'm sorry. I know you all want to join the few, but there's no room for the few because we're sold out for the Sunday afternoon show in the parlor.
Right.
But there are two shows left with Richard Hurst.
Right.
Reading. So if you go to Delnavert Calendar, You can book online there, or if you call Delaware during their working hours,
and
hear a Christmas carol.
If you just want to support the museum,
they need $60,000 when they put in a new boiler, apparently.
Yes. Yep.
Not yet, but yes.
Can I just tell a little story about James Hickerson? When the big storm was going on Thursday.
One of the big storms, Carol. One of
Thursday,
the big storms.
He got his car out, went to school because that's what he does.
Good man.
During the day.
Good man, teaching music.
Yep. Yes. Went to school. Pulled in the parking lot, thought, gee, there's not very many cars here. And he's been listening to the radio constantly, and there's no sign of the schools closing. Went into the school, mucked about for a bit, and then he heard no school today.
Well, he heard it on the radio, but
yes,
he thought
heard it on the radio.
Go in and check, yes. And yeah. Sure enough, you think, Carol, I don't have the right music. I was thinking we could introduce a diatribe every episode of the show to say, yeah. Why wasn't that statement made the day before? Yes.
Yes,
they
or even
the
at
buses too?
6 in the morning.
Well, other people's problems are not, yes. Yeah. All right. A quick look at sports. In hockey, the NHL, the Winnipeg Jets played the best team in the NHL last night.
Oh.
So the Jets battled, but they lost 3-2.
Oh. Okay.
I saw the first goal in the highlights, and it was a bing-bang-bong. Poor old Hellebuck never had a chance, but we were down 2-0 after the first
Well,
period.
And it was the best team in the league. Then we did quite well, by down just by one.
Just when you've lost that many in the last, yes.
Glass half full.
Jets play the Utah Mammoth Sunday at 6. We're looking for a Mammoth response. Jets, the American Hockey League, the Manitoba Moose, battle the Rockford Ice Hogs today at 2, then again Sunday at 2. The Professional Women's Hockey League, Boston and Minnesota last night. Minnesota won 5-2. Today, Montreal and Vancouver at 2. Belfast Giants have signed former NHL forward Carson Twarniski from Calgary, is where he was born. That was his home. And the World Junior Hockey Championship, which is always worth watching, starts next Friday. That's Boxing Day. Canada will play the Czechs, by the way, yes. Finally, an obituary from the Winnipeg Free Press from some time back, November 17th, for Kenneth Ken Nielsen. And I looked at him, I thought I recognized that name, and yes. Born 1942, lived a life defined by talent and dedication, made his mark on the field. Wide receiver for Winnipeg Blue Bombers from 1965 to 70. Doesn't mention, but I think he was an all-star there. Showcasing the athleticism that remained a very large part of him throughout his life. Carried that love of sport into his later years as an avid runner, completed many marathons. Talents weren't all athletic. Successfully practiced dentistry. That's what I remember him for. The football player became a dentist, yes.
Interesting.
There you go.
Well, they do all kinds of. We've got financial advisors and all kinds of things in the.
That's from the Free Press from December 6th, if you want to look that up in the passages, more details. And the Bombers probably did something as well, I was going to say. At 6:08 then. As we turn to your easy listening hit parade this morning, it's T for Two Cha Cha.
Okay.
Well, T for Two, big success back, 1920s?
Yes.
So the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra took the very simplicity of T for Two. Yeah, Vincent Heumann's composition from the 1925 Broadway musical, No, No, Nanette, which has had a number of revivals, made it a perfect candidate for conversion into a cha cha. The dance at that time was at the height of fashion in the mid-1950s. Remember, this is from our hit parade of the 40s and 50s. And recharged by this 1958 offering by the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra. very nice. I think it could have used more cowbell, I was going to say. So that was Steve Reduce, Cha-Cha. As I say, the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, making use of the fact that the cha-cha was the height of fashion in the mid-50s. Now, the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, by this point, had been taken over by the lead trombonist, Warren Covington, after Dorsey's death 2 years earlier. Dance's characteristic cha-cha-cha rhythm chugged along to punctuate its melody line. The old chestnut took on a new life and gave the band a number 7 hit in 1958. 12 minutes after 6... I'm looking at age doesn't matter unless you're a cheese. We're still working our way through, are we, the golden years? Yeah, so we've got a quote here for you. Yes, how about this? All of us failed to match our dreams of perfection, so I rate us on the basis of our splendid failure to do the impossible.
Hmm.
Writer William Faulkner. Well, he would know. At 6:12... Let's see if we can... We're down a CD player here, Carol. Let's see if we can do something with one of your faves.
Handel.
Shoulder and his name shall be called Wonder.
special request from Carol.
Yes.
For the Roaches, For Unto Us a Child Is Born, from their CD, We Three Kings, at 6:17. Carol McKibben, looking at the book pages now.
Yes.
And I see that today we're looking at the best of yet again. Books, still the perfect gift for eager young readers. So I wondered last week when there were only three. Well, this week, Harriet Zaidman has the front page, the big picture, and the turn on
as
well.
Yeah, I thought this week would be the kiddie.
Younger readers, up to 9 years, for the smallest of the small, board books absolutely provide the first gateway to the world of literacy. Who remembers Pat the Bunny? I do. Shoveled it out the door we did when I was at Eton's. So she wants to mention Who's Digging by Katrina Moore. Abrams, 22 pages, board book. Joyful rhyming book for little ones, age 1 to 3. So I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 choices here. Ooh. I'm two minds of this, but I'll share it with you because it's printed. A box set makes a very special present, I'll say, and they're still out there. I was in a shop the other day, and I saw different box sets, different sizes, bigger size trade paperback format, etc., but still in demand at Christmas Inn. This is Anne, the chapter book collection from Tundra, good publisher. But what have they done? These are, I guess, shall we say, abridged, or... Anne of Green Gables stories to young readers aged 6 to 9. I'm two minds, as I say. Can they handle the real thing, and will they move on to the real thing? Yes. And the chapter book collection, then. 63 pages each. I cannot count. There are six of them in that. Well, that's a... All right, not a bad choice, then. I turn the page, and I see for older readers aged 9 and up... Yes, what did Dr. Johnson say to Boswell? Much can be made of a Scotsman if he be caught young. Get them reading, don't you know? So I see here for readers 9 to 12, Words Matter, the story of Hans and Sophie Scholl and the White Rose Resistance from Groundwood. Accessible biography of two German university students, brother and sister, who were executed by the Nazis for distributing leaflets, called on people to rise up against Hitler. Below that... Bones of New Brennan thriller, falls short of Reich's best. That's Evil Bones, a Temperance Brennan novel by Kathy Reichs. So reviewed by Julie Kentner, who says Evil Bones is the 24th Temperance or Brennan thriller since 1977. Deep questions of good and evil, Brennan and her colleagues race to catch a serial killer. But finally, the last paragraph, she says... Evil Bones remains readable for devoted followers of the series, yet it falls short of Reich's best work. She speaks as if she knows. All right, here's hoping. She says the next outing restores the sharp plotting and satisfying revelations that made Reich's a standout in the genre from mystery readers then. As well, now this has been out for quite a while, I think, but I have seen some other reviews. Anthony Hopkins, the actor, yes, we did it, kid. We did okay, kid. A memoir by Anthony Hopkins, reviewed by Gene Walls, former prof of movie studies at the University of Manitoba. So he says, how many memoirs do you know where the final 33 pages are devoted to the memoirist's favorite poems? Answer, none. Not even those by well-known poets. Ah, but this concluding mini-anthology indicates Sir Anthony Hopkins' new book is both extraordinary and eccentric, as you'd expect from the man. I've read some nasties about him, but Gene says, as a memoir, We Did Okay, Kid is lean and carefully selective. When necessary, Hopkins is blunt in his self-assessments. Designed to be more than a mere autobiography, it seems influenced by Alcoholics Anonymous testimony as much as by personal revelations about his accomplishments. It's an encouragement. We did it, kid. You can too. And then he says, poetry then is the book's final gift from Hopkins. It can be an aid. It can be an inspiration. It can offer solace. It's all worth reading. And below that, now we had to do our best of. And to be fair, I think I only reviewed two books for the Free Press last year. So when it came to nonfiction, it wasn't a lot of choice. But I still enjoyed it enough to put it in. And so that's the one that I mentioned last week. But here's the full review in today's Free Press. Against the Grain, Defiant Giants Who Changed the World, Terry O'Reilly. Now, I'm usually suspicious of these things. Who needs a goody two-shoes saying, isn't it wonderful? And, of course, we remember Terry O'Reilly is the man of persuasion because he is the guru, broadcaster, and author for his Under the Influence, which can be heard on CBC Radio today at 11:30. We did listen to that. The repeats at the moment, aren't they, Carol? But
yeah,
we did enjoy. I'm trying to remember if the one last Thursday was about not final concerts, because that was the week before.
It was. Was it all putting religion into? I remember he had One Toke Over the Line as
teaser. You're right.
And yes. I can't remember what else.
But we laughed and enjoyed it right through. And he finishes by mentioning One Toke Over the Line that, of course, Lawrence
Doesn't
well
tell the real whole story. Yeah.
So I said, this book is different from his radio program, Under the Influence, because what we have here is five different categories and characters that he wants to draw our attention to. So what does he cover? Entertainment, business and industry, politics, science, medicine and sport. That book, again, Against the Grain. Terry O'Reilly. Today's Winnipeg Free Press book pages. Well, again, we're summing up the year, because I see Ben Sigurdsson in his Paper Chase column says, Winnipeg broadcaster Scott Oak took top spot in McNally Robinson Bookseller's list of best-selling nonfiction titles of 2025. And, of course, it was his For the Love of a Son, about his late son Bruce's struggles with addiction, his subsequent death, and the rise of the Bruce Oak Recovery Center, which took a while, but it's open now. That was the bookstore's top nonfiction title. The rest are here, listed in today's Winnipeg Free Press book pages. The clock is ticking. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying is, well, the clock is ticking. 6:23. Carol McKibben and I will.
Yes.
Just buttoning up my overcoat.
I should say so because it's windy. Out there.
Yes, yes. I'm not afraid. I may be some time. I may be gone for some time now as we search for ancient radio waves. Just
not that
head
long.
Just push. There we go. And hand me the bamboo cane. Right. Thank you.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed, with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
Before Christmas, when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in a kerchief, and I in my cap, had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer, with a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Dunder and Blitzen, to the top of the porch, to the top of the wall. Now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves that before a wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky, so up to the housetop the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he'd flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled. His dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses. His nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard of his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke of it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a round little belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings, then turned with a jerk, and laying a finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they all flew like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim ere he drove out of sight, "Happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."
Ancient radio waves just go on and on and on and on. That was Lionel Barrymore.
Oh, I
reading
see.
It was the night before Christmas.
Yeah.
Man, he rattled
kinda
right through that.
Through. Yeah.
I want to thank CTV, who were very kind to ask me to come back, and I read it on their TV morning show. Don't tell me if today is Saturday. It must have been
yesterday.
It was probably yesterday morning. Man, it was nasty too.
Yes.
The walk in there.
I'll tell you, it was nasty, but there was a stunning sunrise yesterday morning.
Alas, I had my nose into.
Well, you were maybe
there.
In the midst of, you know, tall buildings by the time.
Right, you are.
It was. Well, as
two
stunning
things.
As I saw it.
I got in, and I got in deeper to the building than I expected to before they came down to get me.
Right.
So I got on the elevator and shot up to the second floor, and the doors open. I thought, no, that's the wrong floor. So I, the doors closed. And I thought, I better go back to the main floor.
Yeah.
And they'll come looking for me. And I pushed the elevator button. Nothing happened. We sat there for about.
Well, it's because you tried to do something else naughty first.
And I thought,
You tried to go to the third floor.
They're going to, well, it won't let you go to the third floor.
Then it won't let you go to the
main
floor.
So I went back to the second floor and pretended I was an ordinary, someone would walk out, then the doors will close, and I tell it, now we want to go to the main floor. Anyways, it was fun to read, and it was life, and you forget, this is how TV works. let's do this. No, we're not going to do that. All right, let's do this. All right, we'll do that. So thank you. Thank you, Danny. And the high point for me, though.
Yes.
They sit you and you wait and you wait and you wait. Uh-huh. So I noticed in the shadows behind me, pictures on the wall from the old days.
Oh.
There was a big picture of Cactus Jack. Jack Wells doing an interview. Yes, three chairs. That's how I used to do it on TV.
Right.
Nothing fancy behind him, etc.
No.
And I looked and one of the people sitting being interviewed was about 5x5. And I took a closer look and I'm pretty sure it was Bill Giusta. Bill Giusta was known as the Red Wrecker. He played with my uncles, Uncle Bill, Uncle George, on the Winnipeg Maroons.
I was going to say hockey.
And
because your other uncle was football.
They called him the Red Wrecker because when he hit you at the boards, he hit you right through. You went through the boards into the future. And I was hosting one of the Peter Zosky golf competitions, which is poetry.
Yes. You had to write a piece of poetry.
That's right. Yeah. And who should I meet on the golf course but Bill Giusta? Oh. And he came up to me and said, I know your uncle, etc. And he said, and I listened to you on the weekend morning show on CBC.
Wow. Isn't that nice?
It was very, very nice. He was still, a lot of old hockey players, as you know, just... Glad to see Ken Nielsen was kept up with his athletics and ran marathons there, we mentioned earlier. Because I think in the old days, some of them just stopped cold. Never to run again.
Yep.
When the old man, 6:33 then, from Ancient Radio's return then, to a suitable song for the season, from one of our old faves.
Okay.
We've interviewed this lady as well, a number of times.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. The kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's that happiest time of the year. With those gay happy meetings and holiday greetings when loved ones are near. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and carolings out in the snow. There'll be fairy ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near.
Show of hands. Who recognized that voice?
Yeah.
Our pet.
Yes.
Juliet, who was the first star on CBC television, had to battle ferociously, fired Bobby Jimby, take your trumpet and bugger off. She was ferocious, and I phoned her on her 75th birthday. We've told this story before.
Yes.
And she wondered, who are you?
Yes.
And who are you, little man? But we chatted for over half an hour, and we broke those into pieces. And once she got rolling, she had stories galore.
Yes.
And it was a lot of fun.
Anything you can share?
Well, the second time we chatted, of course, was the Queen was coming to Canada. It was going to be the 50th anniversary, and they were marching out all the old stars, and Juliet was going to get dollied up. And her gay friend, she said, you'll be outdoing the Queen, you know, with that dress
yes,
on.
Yes.
And we did the interview, and we were done. We start to edit it, and she calls me back. Ron. Hello, Ron. Juliet here. I wonder if you could take out that part where I said I'd be outdoing the Queen. I said, sure. I mean,
she didn't want to end up on the chopping block.
Well, that too, because let's face it, it was hardly news and current affairs, was it?
Yes.
She was a character, she was. Am I right?
Yes.
Hello, Winnipeg. I hope you're not freezing. I hope you're nice and cozy. Mm. And I love you, and I have wonderful memories of you, and I wish you the merriest, most wonderful of Christmases. And to my Ukrainian friends, Buzhayu vam veseli syat.
There she is. As she was, our pet.
Didn't forget
Juliet.
A Ukrainian.
6:37, Carol.
Yes.
Time to turn, as we do, to your problem solved. How do I get out of here before the snow free? No.
Too late.
Dear
now.
Mary, on a holiday in Greece, this is from the Spectator magazine, of course. On a holiday in Greece this summer, there was an area of unexpected tension in our house party. As we lay by the pool, it seemed that everyone was either reading Wicked by Jilly Cooper, that's the late Jilly Cooper, of course, or A Much Married Man by Nicholas Coleridge, or Titled Deeds by Lisa Campbell, or The Gund by Belinda Rathbone. This meant that at no time could you enjoy discussing any of those titles you had read or were reading yourself, because as soon as you started, you would elicit a scream from a neighbor begging you to stop on the grounds they hadn't read it yet or hadn't yet reached the passage you were talking about. We've all been there.
Yes. Yep.
Like Coronation Street. Mary, this was frustrating to say the least. It meant stimulating conversation was virtually barred. How could we have managed this better? Letter signed, A.E. from Pews Wilts. Mary has an answer. Of course she has an answer.
Of course.
This situation was clearly intolerable. You should have implemented a firm policy whereby people were required to announce the book they were about to discuss and wait before doing so until those who didn't want to overheard had blocked their ears with iPod earphones. Incidentally, you could also have turned the nuisance to your advantage. You could have used the book discussion alarm as a pretext to require others to block their ears when really you wanted to discuss secrets with a selected few without blabbermouths overhearing. When I was at CBC,
yes.
Jeffrey Malkovich used to start rumors to see how long it would be before they went round the entire building and came back to it. Have you heard about...
Very bad.
So one of my favorite was he said that Jack Parr was going to leave the radio show,
yes.
That's Captain Radio,
yeah.
And he was going to do an all-night show, and it was
yes.
going to be called Far Into the Radio, Into
oh,
the Night.
Oh, very
Far
funny.
Far Into the Night. Turner Classic Movie Channel now.
How
yes.
long did that take...
Half an hour,
do
he
the
said.
Rounds. Yeah. Half an hour.
And, but you know what happens? Things come back to you, and they've been embroidered.
Yes, of course.
And added to, yeah. Yeah. And he's been fired as well. No. Turner Classic Movie Channel for December 20th. That's today? Is that today? Sounds like today. Close enough for rock
date?
And roll. Yes,
today's
no.
the 20th.
Good thinking. 9 a.m. this morning then.
Yes.
On Moonlight Bay from 1951, directed by Roy Del Rute. Did quite a few things. Doris Day, Gordon McRae. Small Town Tomboy Romance, just before World War I.
Okay.
Take your mind off. Don't look outside the window. Don't look outside. 1 p.m. today. Three Godfathers. Now, this was made at least three times.
Yep.
This is the 1936. Chester Morris. Lewis Stone, Walter Brennan, yep, Western, three fugitives risk their lives to bring a newborn baby out of the desert.
Right.
As I say, done in the 40s as well, I think maybe the Duke, John Wayne, might have been one version
that. May not have been the comedy that they eventually, Three Men
turned
and a Baby.
Turned it into. Yeah. Yes, you're right. Yeah, probably not. 445, The Apartment, 1960. Well, when I tell you it's directed by Billy Wilder, you don't have an edge to it. It did. Very young Jack Lemmon, Shirley MacLaine looking lovely, and a very nasty
Fred
McMurray. Yep. I don't think he did a lot of these. His fans used to stop him in the street, and this was not the Fred McMurray they wanted to see on the screen.
No, eventually he turned to comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Flubber. Yes, Disney. 11 p.m., Lady in the Lake from 1947. Well, if you're a movie buff or you study films, I suppose, but it's a Raymond Chandler mystery, all right. And it's directed and acted by Robert Montgomery, but it's all from the detective's viewpoint. You see it through his eyes, except there's one scene at the end.
Right.
Which I think, was it Audrey Trotter? Anyways, whoever is the frail in the movie, they add a scene at the end where they have to kiss.
So
you see both of them kissing.
Yeah.
Because either the early reviews were, well, this is not going to work, or we need to brighten it up at the end.
Oh, dear.
Anyways, if you're a movie student, you think, oh, this is how it was done. But to try and carry it with that through his eyes through the whole movie, too much. Too much, I'm afraid. Sunday. Scary. 4 a.m. The Curse of the Cat People.
Ick.
1944. Moody, indeed. And then at 2:30 Sunday, Going My Way. Of course, you've got to show that. And they're following it with The Bells of St. Mary's at 4:45.
Oh, of course.
Going My Way, 1944. Bing Crosby, of course. Yes.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me
Two Bing Crosby movies, Sunday, 2:30, Going My Way. Yes, he wears a dog collar in both of them. And The Bells of St. Mary's, 1946. My mother and father used to sing that. The Bells of St. Mary's, I hear they are calling. The young loves, the true loves that come from the sea. And so, my beloved, yes. at 7 o'clock Sunday, Gold Diggers of 1933. Surprise, it was made in 1933, yes. Directed by Mervyn LeRoy. Three chorus girls fight to keep their show going and find rich husbands. Now, there's a story that's been done to death. Joan Blondell, who could be a very bad girl as well. And that's the Turner Classic Movie Channel for Saturday and Sunday. Carol McKibben, what about the Jumble?
Did you talk about... Because I went out for a moment. I'll be home for Christmas.
Oh, that we sang it, of course. You're
yes.
Right, our choir.
Because as it was playing... I was going through my part in the song, you know, just
right.
A little.
Man, it's a weird and wonderful harmonies in there, a couple
yeah,
of spots.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. So once or twice, I thought it was painful.
Well, we've had our last little concert.
Yes.
Last Monday.
For Christmas, yes.
For Christmas. And it's on into the spring music.
No, yep.
In mid-January.
Are we going to try and tackle the Handel piece again?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It was a monster.
Well, it's Handel.
Do you think you can handle it? I know you can. Well, sooner
yeah.
or later. Marjorie, yeah. our choir director, refuses to give up.
I mean, we played that Handel piece earlier, right?
For Unto Us a Child is Born.
Yes.
Yep.
And this one that we're singing in the spring is from Judas Maccabeus. And it's a fantastic piece. It's hard to find on YouTube, though. I haven't found, or maybe I found one. But it's Handel, so there's a lot of movement of different voices going on.
6:48 now, yep. Then. Another Carol McKibben request for Christmas.
Oh.
Well, we got the Jumble there, I see.
Oh, yes.
Well, I just had a sip of coffee. It was 5 minutes ago.
Mm.
It curves and the drop-off in attention span is phenomenal.
You're the
it's
one
Carol,
who mentioned...
It? It's Carol, yes. Carol, what about the Jumble?
Yes, you're the one who mentioned the Jumble to
J-U-M-B-L-E, me. J-U-M-B-L-E, Jumble.
Okay. I'll see how you do with this one. Let's test him, folks. S-A-E-T-Y. Dead radio is not a good sound.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, tough one, eh?
That's a tough one, I think. Yeah. I'm going to think about this while we
okay,
play
I'm
another.
Okay, I'm not going to give you any hints.
No.
Yep.
I'm going to get some coffee and play another Carol McKibben request.
Okay.
Garment of life, be it tattered and torn. The cloak of the soldier is weathered and worn. But what child is this that was poverty born? The peace of Christmas Day. The branch that bears the bright holly, the dove that rests in yon. The light that shines for all to see, the peace of Christmas Day. The hope that has slumbered for 2,000 years, a promise that silenced 1,000 fears, a faith that can hobble an ocean of tears, the peace of Christmas Day.
The dove that rests in yonder tree,
from their CD, John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together. Have you ever seen the Muppets Christmas Carol?
No, people talk about it being really good, and I've never seen it, and I don't see it on the...
I'll bet Disney owns it.
Somebody owns it, and they're not putting it on regular TV anymore.
What if that happens to Elf? Good Lord, what would we do then? We'd have to pay cash money,
Well, we haven't seen Elf yet this year either. Well, the thing that's bothering me is Netflix buying Warner. Mm-hmm. And when Netflix puts out a movie, it's in the theater for like 3 days. And you've got a 3-day window.
To go and see it.
To go and see it.
Oh, I see. Well, yep. I'm not sure if that'll go through. We'll see.
Well, Warner is telling their people to accept it. And not to accept the Paramount one, which is gazillion more dollars.
Hokey and crooky.
Yep, I know.
652.
Big business.
1957. Cast your mind back. I'm looking at a picture of him.
He doesn't look happy.
Oh, 1957.
You know what? 57?
Yep.
That's the year my brother Scott was born, and he got the jumbo.
Yes, and what are those letters again?
S-A-E-T-Y.
I see. Well, there's north, south, west, and easty.
You came very close. Yes. You gave it a rise. That was a clue.
Rise, sunrise.
Or bread rise.
Could it be yeast? There you go.
Boy,
When you have a letter that has two different possibilities, like a hard C or soft C, that's where I'm...
Yes, and a Y that's not at the end. Okay, go on with
Elvis. I'm ready for the home now. I can see that.
Okay.
What's the old cow say when you load her on the truck? What's a rubber to a duck? What's time passes? And 6:54, indeed, right. On this day, 1957, yes. Elvis Presley receives his draft notice to join the U.S. Army for national service during the peacetime draft. I think he ended up in Germany, did he not? Because he didn't have a wooden heart. Yes, in German, as a matter of fact. John Lennon said...
Yes?
Elvis was never the same when he came back from the Army.
Oh.
So he did a movie. He had done a movie just before he entered the service.
Yes.
But I think this must have been the last recording he did before he went into the Army.
Wow.
Yeah.
Won't you wear my ring up around your neck to tell the world I'm yours by heck? Let them see your love for me, and let them see by the ring of your neck. Won't you wear my ring up around your neck to tell the world I'm yours by heck? Let them know. Tell the world I'm yours by hand. Let them
desperate, wasn't he? You could hear it in his voice. Or, I'm off to the army, that's what I felt.
Yeah, maybe.
From a 2-CD set, Elvis, 50 years, 50 hits, Wear My Ring Around Your Neck. Sounds a little strong for a request, Elvis, is what I was going to say. It's 657. Just when we were talking about 1957. Right. You know how many letters there are in Kennedy's last name?
Same as Lincoln's.
657.
Oh, Lincoln's secretary was named Kennedy, and Kennedy's secretary was Lincoln or something.
Next half hour.
Yes.
Children's Corner. We're going to, I'll do a paraphrasing. I'll read a little bit and paraphrase the end
right.
of A Christmas Carol for the boys and
yes.
girls. We might even try another jumble at the moment. Not until next half hour, I think.
But the next one, I think, coffee. Is a bit easier.
More
yes,
coffee.
Really easy.
Coffee, C-O-F-F-E-E, coffee. At 657. Died on this day in 1999, Madison, Nashville, Tennessee. Hank Snow, who, of course, came from the Maritimes. So this is what I used to sing along to this. I have to sing through your nose at home to get the full effect.
Dark old cave.
Yep.
Miller's cave.
Way down in the state of Georgia, through the swamps and Everglades, there's a hole in Tiger Mountain. God help the man who gets lost in Miller's Cave. I had a girl in Waycross, Georgia, but she had unfaithful ways, made me feel bears in Miller's Cave.
Miller's Cave.
I couldn't stand the way she did me. Couldn't take her low down ways. Before I stay with a cheating woman, I'll go live with the bears in Miller's Cave. I caught her out one Sunday morning,
Sunday morning,
with a man they call Big Dave, meanest man in Waycross, Georgia. I'd rather fight a mountain lion in Miller's Cave.
Miller's Cave.
I said you'll pay both you and Davey. I must see graves. They laughed at me and then I shot.